Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report, another daily editorial where I will be focusing a bit more on the precious metals sector because I am chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Now Craig, I want to look ahead to the end of the year. We're really not that far away, just under 2 months away from the end of 2020. I think a lot of people are going to be very happy to put this year behind us. But when it comes to the action in the precious metals, it was another year where the first half of the year, and that even extended a little bit past June, it went, well, actually into July, and the very start of August seems to be when we hit the peak for the precious metals, whether it's gold, silver, or the underlying stocks. We have been in a general downtrend, especially when it comes to the stocks, for the last 3 months. Two more months to go in the year. When it comes to year-end targets that you think are actually attainable, let's talk about that. What are some of the levels you are focused on for gold for the end of the year?
Well, nice to speak with you, Corey. And please don't let me forget to get back to talking about the stocks because there's some interesting stories there. In terms of the precious metals bull market, yes, it's very easy to draw comparisons to last year and actually extrapolate that forward into next year because the fundamentals of this bull market are unchanged. This really began in November, maybe early December of 2018. And you'll recall that the Fed had let rates move up and they'd drawn down their balance sheet, $700 billion over a course of 5 years and all this stuff. But it got the 10-year note to the over 3%. At that point, everything kind of froze up. Stock market began to collapse. And the Fed was forced to turn course. And they actually publicly announced that by June of 2019. But the market, the bull market in the metals really took off then because we went from positive real interest rates, 3% treasury, 1% to 2% inflation, started trending downward in real rates to now negative real rates. And that continues. We didn't get much of that from the Fed today, but you'll get a lot of that in 2021. So with that as a backdrop, the fundamental backdrop, you know, the $3.2 trillion U.S. deficit in fiscal year 2020, that's going to be at least that in this current fiscal year, regardless of who wins the election, though it looks like it's going to be Biden. I mean, this is all of these fundamentals are staying the same. So recognizing that this bull market had begun with that change in interest rates, you might recall, Corey, I wrote in 2019, we talked a lot about how 2019 was going to look a lot like 2010, if you remember that whole theme. And that was going to be the initial breakout year, which seemed kind of crazy at the time because, I mean, we've been range bound for 5 years, but it was. And we got blasted out of that range, got all the way past my target, which was 1520, got all the way to 1560 in early September. But, you know, everybody knows you don't go up forever. You know, you always got to consolidate some gains. And so we consolidated for about 100 days from early September into about middle part of August. A lot of talk then about, oh boy, here we go, going back down, all this kind of stuff. But no, the bull market was fundamentally there. We rallied into year end, back right to my target of 1520. And then that set us up for this year. And then obviously COVID, you know, has kind of driven things even crazier. So now here this year, my target was 1,800. We again blew through that all the way to nearly 2,100, but we peaked on August the 6th, almost exactly 90 days ago. And now as we speak today, gold and silver are both not only above their 50-day moving average again for the first time in about 6 weeks, they've also broken their trend lines down from those August highs. No trend line continues up forever because nothing goes to infinity, and no trend line continues down forever because the metals aren't going to zero. And I think we're getting that trend changed now. After our consolidation, just like last year, we'll again move up as we move into the end of the year. A little Santa Claus rally. Get, you know, we'll still have tax loss selling and all that stuff that we'll have to deal with as we get into December. But I think it'll all play out just like last year. Maybe not finish up with a 2 on the gold price, because there are certainly forces that would probably not want to see a 2 at the end of the quarter and at the end of the year, but maybe 1980 or so, something like that. And it'll once again set us up just like last year for new highs, new all-time highs, probably sometime in the first quarter.
So, Craig, what about the comparison, though, of 2016? That's when gold really put in a bottom at the beginning of the year, actually very tail end of 2015, ran higher for about $300 in about the same time frame that gold ran this year, and then started to show some weakness and drop more heavily at the tail end of the year. Gold this year, from where it started 2020 to its peak, up about $400 to $500, and has started showing some weakness, but again, not much weakness. But it was the end of the year in 2016 that gold really started to drop. Are you drawing any comparisons? Are you concerned at all that we could be seeing a 2016 type of move?
I'm not at all, and the comparisons are only in terms of the chart. I've been asked this on multiple occasions. In 2016, and this really didn't have, I don't know, maybe it had something to do with the election of Trump, I don't know. But the dollar got stronger late in the year. And the Fed was still in this regime of trimming their balance sheet and raising interest rates. And real rates were positive. That is 180 degrees diametrically different from where we are right now, where the Fed is actively doing QE of $120 billion a month, begging the U.S. Congress for more debt that they can monetize. They're going to eventually be talking about yield curve control next year in terms of making real rates even more sharply negative. So that the fundamentals on the ground that are driving the price, like I said, are 180 degrees different than they were in 2016. Now, to get back to the thing about the shares, where I said, don't let me forget, because, you know, I'm getting older and I forget things. I think there's a lot of carryover still now from people. You know, they look at, especially institutional investors, look at gold mining companies, you know, as just cash burners, you know, and they just eat up their free cash flow. And then they blow it on, you know, projects that don't work. And then there's just carryover from 2016 where, you know, a lot of people didn't believe the rally, and they waited until after the HUI index had doubled before they got in, and then the rug got pulled out from them. And so I think, even though, you know, great earnings again, and the miners are selling their gold at $1,900 during the quarter, the third quarter, I still think there's a lot of folks that are just like, you know, kind of show me, I don't believe it yet. I think it moved to new highs. You know, we start moving back up again, getting close to 2000, and as we move to new highs in the first quarter, we may finally get those floodgates to open. Because there's really no other sector where the earnings are growing like crazy, the cash flow is growing like crazy, the dividends are being increased or reinstated. And so I really preach people to be patient here with the shares and not go thinking that that they're about to collapse again like they did in 16. I just don't think there's any rationale to base that on.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I don't think anybody right now is thinking that their shares are going to collapse because they're moving so much higher today. But we all still need to understand that there are still a lot of worries and fears and uncertainty for these markets. Just look at what's going on with Europe and their broad shutdown that is happening. Greece just announced that it is going on a shutdown now. That does need to lead you to think that the euro might continue to be weak, though, right? And the dollar does carry somewhat of a hand in precious metals moves, but the dollar continues to be relatively weak. And even today, we heard from the Fed, and they're not doing much. They're still kind of sitting on the sidelines. They're really waiting for the government to issue some sort of a spending package. So that's why a lot of these markets still have their hands tied for, I think, more aggressive moves. But we're seeing so much money enter the market that was clearly on the sidelines pre-election because of all that uncertainty. So how much more money can come into the markets? And also, what's going to be the balance between money landing in the broad averages and money landing in, let's say, precious metals?
Well, that's always the trick question, right? We keep waiting for the institutional ownership of all things precious metal to increase. I thought it was getting close to 1%. I talked to Rick Rule at Sprott Inc. last week. He said it was still closer to 0.7%. I mean, what is the entire GDX as a market cap of whatever it is, $600 billion, and it's like a third of what Apple's market cap is, you know, or whatever those numbers are. It won't take much to turn people on. And I do think it's, you know, the seeing will be believing. You get silver to move back to new highs versus the highs in August. You get gold to move back to new all-time highs. And I think people will be ready to roll. And, you know, in the meantime, though, no, you're right. I mean, there are some question marks are always going to be. I guess my message has consistently been for people on TF Metals Report is to understand that this is a fundamental bull market. And with the last, at least for me, I think the last thing you want to do is to either get greedy or bored and start trading, because invariably you're going to get wrong footed. Just even look at yesterday as an example. You know, you could say, well, geez, the metals didn't do anything. Ah, these things stink. I got to get out of them. You know, I would have thought they'd have been up today after the election. And so anything you sold yesterday, now all of a sudden you're chasing today, because fundamentally things haven't changed. In fact, they just continue to improve. So my message continues just to be, man, almost like Bitcoin, like they say, Corey, hold on for dear life. If you're right, it'll all work out for you positively, I'm sure.
Yeah, volatility, though, that's going to remain around for a while. And let's see how we end this year. Again, it's been a great year for the precious metals. Even moving sideways to the end of the year is just fine. But
yeah,
maybe a little more strength in some of these majors. It's time for these stocks to play catch up, because the stocks still are not pricing in gold at 1900. Let's wrap it up with your final comments there, because listen, the stocks haven't played catch up. They're still lagging the gold price where it's at.
Yeah, no doubt. However, you know, I'll ask everybody to take a look at a couple of different charts. I track the GDX and GDXJ every day as like an aggregate, you know, just something. Give me for the sector in general. Probably a lot of people do that. But sometimes it can be instructive to look at some of the individual stocks. I had a little extra cash laying around this week, so my initial intention was to not get a little itty bitty stock, to buy one of the bigger ones. You know, what are the bellwethers? Barrick, Newmont. Newmont I've owned off and on over the years. So I went to look at Newmont, and I noticed, this was back on Tuesday, a couple of days ago, that Newmont not only had broken its downtrend from August, but it also moved above its 50-day. Then I looked further, and the one I ended up actually buying was Agnico Eagle, because it was kind of like a day or two behind. It had broken its 50-day, but hadn't broken its downtrend. And then when I looked at the GDX and the GDXJ, they'd done neither. They were still below their downtrend and their 50-day. And I thought, well, I think Newmont's telling me something. In the time since, Agnico Eagle has now broken its downtrend, and it's just kind of following along and doing great. And the GDX and the GDXJ have also now crawling above their 50-day and their downtrend. So I think we are headed the right direction here. All the earnings have been great. And again, let's just see if I'm right about price. We kind of work our way through the last 8 weeks of the year, finish the year just below 2000, maybe finish the year around 26 or 7 in silver. Man, I think it could really get exciting across the board for everybody in the first quarter. And that's kind of what I'm banking on at this point.
All right, Craig, we're wrapping it up there. Thanks for taking some time on this Thursday. A good day for pretty much all investors. So let's hope this trend continues. But again, one thing to be aware of is that volatility is going to be here for a while. Craig, thanks for your time, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All the best, my friend.